Last month on 1015fm.com.au, Karen Ahl opened the door on AI, and today we're walking right through it. As a marketing and mindset coach, Karen's seen firsthand how AI is transforming small businesses. From saving time to boosting sales, today we're going deeper. Karen, we've only started to scratch the surface with AI, haven't we? We chatted how AI can be useful and how you use it day to day in your businesses. You've also offered some great suggestions on where someone new to AI could get started. So how about we dig a little deeper into those topics? Can you give us some more examples of how your customers are using AI in their businesses?
Yes, absolutely. So, and we're absolutely just opening the door. So we've opened one flap on a cardboard box at this point. So the ways our clients are already using and leveraging AI, and we do a bit of this in our own business as well, is the first one is customer communications. So most email platforms actually have an inbuilt rewrite feature. So if you're using Google Workspace or any platforms like that, they have like a little rewrite tool and they'll do a suggested response. We've had a couple of other ones where email management is actually being taken care of. So we use a tool called Fixer to do this, which has been really helpful. There's also things like chatbots as well. So chatbots actually being plugged into somebody's website. A lot of those can be our AI powered. You just got to teach it. Other elements are things like in the marketing departments, creating content, writing things for websites, website wording, blogs, social media content, newsletters, and even image and photo creations. So we do a lot of that for our clients as well. If the customer hasn't got an image that we're kind of really looking for, we can use AI to generate something really close to what we're after. There's other admin and time-saving tools. So things like meeting transcripts being captured by the likes of Google Meet or with Zoom. There's actually tools you can plug in that'll capture a transcript. And they can even now generate a checklist. So it'll pick up the nuances in the conversation and will create a summary of what the conversation was about. And it will generate a checklist at the end so that you and your team know who is responsible for what. It's not always accurate, but it is actually very, very helpful. We've had customers use it to create other checklists and standing operating procedures, to draft up policies. If they don't have the budget yet to go see legal assistance, they can actually go through and get something, at least a first draft, through a platform like ChatGPT. There's things like onboarding documents. And another thing that's actually really good is it's actually analyzing spreadsheets. So if you've got some information or some data, it can actually go through and recognize the patterns in it, which is really good if you need to make some decisions, particularly around your marketing. Sales support, so it can actually help you with writing scripts. It can actually also help you identify objections. So if you notice in your sales processes, you are butting up against the same problems every single time, it can help you identify what is actually behind those objections and actually give you some solutions around crafting your sales messages to answer those before they become an issue. It can also help with proposals and outlines if you want to have a little bit more clarity around your sales process. In regards to strategy and decisions, it can actually be like a brainstorming buddy. So because it's got uses pattern recognition, it can actually go through any information you're giving it and go through your ideas with you backwards and forwards. So you can actually talk to it like it's a coach. Go back and ask lots of questions because then it will then be able to help you stress test things like pricing, your strategy. It's also very logical, so it can help you compare ideas with one another, so you might actually get a little bit more clarity from that. It can also help identify risks. I've noticed it being very, very good at this. And it can also help you map out a customer journey. So if you're trying to work out taking people from, say, landing on your website through to your sales process, what are the other steps you can do in between to assist with your marketing to get them through that sales funnel? And last few is website and tech support. So when it comes to creating more content, SEO, so that stands for search engine optimization research. So we use it for that a lot because it gives us some really cool ideas for keywords that we need our clients' websites to rank for. It's really good for debugging code. The average small business is not going to need that one, but we use that. It's actually very handy because it does a lot faster than a human can. Another one we've used it for and a lot of our clients do as well is research. So just the basic sort of question and answer sort of combinations, really good for creating frequently asked questions compilations. So if you need to create an FAQ document or a page for your website, it's really good for that. And it's also really good that if you're looking for research, so for example, in my business, I use it a lot to compare different pieces of software. So if I'm trying to deliver a particular functionality on a website, I can go and compare multiple brands of software. I can compare pricing, I can compare functionality, features, support, all of that, and it'll actually really is actually very accurate in trying to tell me what it is I'm looking for, so I don't have to spend hours doing that. And a really good one, and this is one that a lot of our clients use as well, is actually using appointment setting. So with the AI now, you can have either an over-the-phone virtual one, or you can do this an online one, and it will actually interact with the customer and help set appointments for you.
It's incredible. Could do a hell of a lot. So where can someone start? Someone who wants to leverage this, where do they go to figure out where the starting point is?
Yeah, so if anyone's really trying to get started, and I know a reason why a lot of people are scared of this is just purely a lack of understanding. So the very first thing I would suggest is going to a platform like YouTube, particularly if you're familiar with YouTube, and actually educating yourself and asking the questions. What are your concerns? Are you wondering how AI can help in your business? So just making sure that you understand how the AI works in the first place. So actually looking for a video that might explain the background behind ChatGPT and how it works, or how Gemini works, or how Claude works. So then you can actually get a bit more of a basic understanding as to how they function. And another really cool thing you can do is use the AI tools themselves. So ChatGPT and Gemini and all that, you can access free versions of these. So you can actually ask those AI platforms how they function, how they came about, how they can support you. Because then once you've got this information, you can kind of work out how comfortable you are. See how much access you want to give this AI or multiple AI platforms depending on your business. And it also gives you the opportunity to compare them, which one or which ones might be the most useful in your business.
Now, it doesn't go perfectly every time. Are there any situations where it's backfired or AI has gone rogue?
Absolutely. I think we've all experienced this one now. So the number one I think that everyone's aware of is inaccurate images. I've actually got a really cool example for this one. So my assistant actually was looking to create a little graphic for a children's book. And she input the instructions of was young boy in a forest by himself alone with a snake character, a cartoon snake character. And that was it. I think that was the only prompt. And it spat back an image of small boy, little cartoon character, a snake that had a weird claw arm. It had a beak. And then there was a third character in the outputted image, which looked really ridiculous and was not prompted to be there. So sometimes you've got to really learn how to prompt the AI to get the outcome, but sometimes it's just very entertaining. And we've had many, many image fails over the years.
Is that an example where you have to be absolutely specific beyond?
Very.
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. We had another one as an example where for an author, we were generating product images and there was a photo. He'd sent me an actual photograph of a jigsaw puzzle, and the jigsaw puzzle in it had an image of cartoon cars and a building. And the AI changed the graphic and put the cartoon car on the roof of the building, even though that was not what was in the source image, nor did we tell it to put the car on the building. It just decided that, I can design this puzzle better than you did. So we had to go back and do quite a number of reiterations of that. So sometimes the image might be generated and look really good and clear and crisp, but you've then got to double check that it's actually accurate and zoom in and make sure there's not an extra toe or a wonky finger or something like that. Some other ones there is... And this, I've noticed this happen all the time, and I think we're getting really good at picking it, but really oversells these social media posts and emails. The big dead set giveaway is too many emojis. We generally don't communicate with emojis in promotional and in sales, but now we're seeing emojis pop up everywhere. Mm. And there's a thing called an M dash. There's that really long dash. I think we've all seen it. That is a dead set giveaway of ChatGPT output. Okay. The outputs can be really generic. So sometimes you might ask it a question, it'll spit out something that's not got anything to do with your business. So you've got to be really mindful about that. And also, AI ends up being a bit of a yes man. So it'll agree with you all the time, even if it's wrong. So even if you're wrong. So sometimes you actually need to put into those platforms to say, don't agree with me, please challenge my ideas if you're trying to get the accurate outcome. At the end of the day, and this is what I keep telling a lot of our clients as well, if you're leveraging the AI and wondering why you're getting poor results, it's because we're actually teaching it poorly. So if you're looking to teach it correctly, it will start to perform better. And a really good example I found is pretend you're talking to it as though it's someone who has never spoken English or your native language before. Pretend that you need to be super specific. You don't use slang. You got to make sure you're using very, very clear punctuation and spelling. And then generally you will get a better outcome. And sometimes you might need to put your inputs in more than once. So you, I know we've done images, for example, and it's taken us 20 attempts to get the outcome we want.
You touched on it there, accuracy.
Yep.
How accurate is it?
Unfortunately, it's not a truth machine. So, but at the end of the day, we're the ones who have taught AI in the first place. So all of the information that has taught AI to begin with, so for example, an OpenAI, which is the thing behind ChatGPT, all of that information has been fed to it by us. So on the internet, and this is a statistic from like 5 years ago, the information on the internet doubles daily. And most of that is opinion or misinformation or mistruths, headlines, clickbait. So there's a really good chance that all the information that the AI has actually been learning from is already incorrect. And it does not know how to tell the difference between right and wrong, or correct and incorrect, incorrect and correct. There's another phrase that has come out called hallucinations. So apparently AI sometimes will generate the information. It sounds confident in its answer, but it's not actually correct. It is 100% fabricated. This, I feel like, is a little bit of a modeling off of human behavior, because I know a lot of humans don't like admitting that they're wrong or they don't have the information. ChatGPT seems to copy us a little bit in that behavior. So it'll make stuff up. Instead of just being blatant and saying, I'm not aware of that answer, it'll just make up something. So you need to be prepared to go to fact check some of your information, especially if you're using it for decision making or some kind of privacy, like a policy or anything like that, anything legal. Other things it does is outdated information. A lot of this information that AI has been trained on is data up until a certain cutoff point. So unless it's connecting to live web results or live web tools, like things like regulations, tax rules and pricing and that kind of stuff, the information in it may be out of date already. So again, you've got to triple check that. Another one again is overgeneralization, which I've already mentioned. But the way it works is the law of averages. So it'll be based completely on generic advice. You've got to really be working with your AI tool a lot to get it to be a bit more specific. So what happens because of the information being very general, any strategy that it's giving you, it lacks local context because you might be based in, say, the Moreton Bay region, but it's collating information from businesses in Perth or Sydney or Melbourne, which doesn't necessarily apply here. So you want to make sure that it's applying and those strategies it's giving you and suggesting to you are applicable to your industry, your location, and the size of your business too, because a lot of it is modeled off of big business information. And then the last one here that I've listed out is it's a false authority tone. So AI writes confidently even when it's uncertain. So you've got to really make sure that you're verifying the data, because if you're using this in a report or an article, even just a blog, and you're trying to inform your audience, you want to make sure that you're giving your audience the correct information. Otherwise, you'll be caught out as not being credible.
Yeah, you can't trust it completely, can you?
No, not really.
Coming back maybe to the pictures, which you mentioned earlier, plagiarism, copyright, that sort of thing. What about that? How do you tackle that?
Yes, absolutely. So up until AI, a lot of people would come to us particularly for their websites and they would just grab random images off of a Google images search. That already is in breach of somebody's copyright. So you can't legally do that. You need to either pay for stock photos or create your own, get a professional photographer to do them, or take your own photos and make sure they're original and that you own them. So when it comes to copying and plagiarism, when it comes to AI, sometimes the image manipulation or even AI image that's getting output, it's actually grabbing an existing image that it may not have the permission to use. So you've got to be a little bit mindful that even if you've told it to edit an image and maybe put, a celebrity's photo in the foreground, it's using a background photo that might not be one that you have permission to use on a commercial sense. So if you're using it just as a personal, Facebook meme or something like that, it's probably not such a big deal. But when it comes to using something commercially and you're potentially building a business and earning an income from it, that is concerning. Mm-hmm. We don't know who's responsible for that and how do you actually look that up. So it could be reverse look up to see if you're accidentally plagiarizing someone's photo. Mm-hmm. The big one, though, and the easiest one to work out is actually the wording. So what happens is if you're a pest control company, for example, and you're writing blog articles about termites, then there's a really good chance that the AI tool you're using to help you write new articles is referencing your competitors' websites. So you'll be really, really mindful of not copying their content, because if you do, then you could potentially be in trouble for plagiarism. Our laws have not caught up as to whether or not that is either ChatGPT's or Claude's fault. Yeah. So that's one big error, or big issue, sorry. Another area is SEO and content originality. So when it comes to search engine optimization, even though search engines like Google and Bing and all of that, they're less concerned about the information being generated by AI, but they're more concerned about the value that that information can be providing. So in addition to the plagiarism argument, there's also the argument that that article has to still could be considered helpful. It needs to be delivering value, and it needs to be include expertise and experience. At the end of the day, in those instances, the risk isn't necessarily plagiarism. It's the fact that a lot of your content that it's been written by ChatGPT or Claude or one of those may not be original enough and may not be valuable enough for it to actually do anything in Google, for it to come up in ranking. So you'll be really mindful that the quality of the output that you're putting up. Otherwise, it's just content for the sake of content. It's not really going to move your business forward. It's not going to help your website rank any better. Oh, and not to mention the information won't be that exciting and no one's going to want to read it. And then the last one is the whole copyright gray areas. So AI, in terms of what, who's responsible for training AI and who's also liable. So there's actually a website, and I've forgotten the URL for now, but I might remember it for next month. There's actually a website that I went to that I could put in my web design agency's website address. And it turns out that my website was used to train OpenAI at the start.
Wow.
I was never approached. Billions of websites were used to train the AI. Yeah. And there's been a lot of arguments. So Wikipedia was right up the top there. My website's right down the bottom. I'm a little guy in comparison to some of the big ones. But a lot of existing websites were used to train the AI models in terms of this information. So I'm not only worried about me plagiarizing somebody else inadvertently. I'm also concerned that because my website has been used to teach OpenAI and to help the original AI training models, there's a chance that my website can be plagiarized without me knowing.
Yeah. It's perhaps minefield, calling it a minefield is probably too extreme, but you have to step carefully through the process, don't you? You have to be aware of what the pitfalls are and how you can get around them even. So where are some areas where AI does not replace human beings?
Absolutely, yes. And it's these sometimes are the parts that, even though AI is super helpful and can help us do research and all the rest of it, there are, you know, comforting that sometimes annoying things that AI still can't do for us. But again, like I said, it's comforting. AI doesn't necessarily help with the fact checking. Like I said, it hallucinates and it tries to be authoritative, even though it doesn't necessarily know the answer. So it can be asked, you can actually go back to it and ask it to fact check and make sure it's actually giving you sources. So, for example, ChatGPT will give you links, but only if you prompt it. But you still now, as the human, needs to go back and check those result sources, because the ChatGPT will just give you any links that it feels like goes, yep, that closely resembles what it needs to be. Yeah. So as a human, you need to go do that. And also another area, and it can simulate this to a degree, but it doesn't build relationships. So it's really unable to create genuine trust. So if you've been using AI for a while and you are still noticing things like hallucinations and your images are inaccurate and that kind of thing, it's really tricky to trust it. So again, humanity, that's something we've got over it at this point in time. Another section is understanding deep emotional nuance. So it can, to a degree, pick up the patterns of certain behaviors and certain emotions, but it's not necessarily going to be sympathetic to that. So, for example, even if you're going through something a bit emotional and you want to have somebody to chat to, using an AI tool can definitely simulate empathy, but it's not going to be empathetic. It'll just help with the pattern recognition, which can be helpful, but again, not necessarily. It doesn't have that human touch, as you can imagine. Yeah. And also, too, it doesn't remove the requirement for industry experience and expertise. So there's a lot of industries out there, a lot of professionals, particularly in trades. There's all these little nuances that are never published anywhere. So AI at this point doesn't have access to that information, so we would never be aware of it. And the really cool thing to remember is at the end of the day, AI amplifies capability. It doesn't actually enhance, it doesn't replace it completely. So if you've got a business model that is not strong, AI is actually going to enhance the incompetence and the gaps. So making sure you're really super clear of what you need it to do is probably one of the most important steps.
Very briefly, what's the biggest misconception or misunderstanding that people currently have about AI? Do they think it can do absolutely everything? Or
to a degree, yeah. I think the biggest misconception at the moment is that it knows everything. So like I said, there's a lot of people assuming that the information they're getting from these platforms is 100% correct. It's not. It's imagine going, I don't know, for anyone, any of the listeners who have gone and done university, it's almost like you have to go back and ask your AI tool to provide you the resources list or the references list so you know where the source of this information came from. Because then you can check A for its accuracy, so you're not accidentally plagiarizing, and also check for, you need to go back and check for accuracy, but also check that you're not inadvertently copying somebody.
Yeah. Karen, we've made a great start there. Thank you very much indeed for that. Next month, let's talk about how local business can leverage AI in a way that's useful, safe, and can help make their business more efficient and profitable. And you can check out other great business podcasts from Karen Arl, Marketing and Mindset Coach, from Webstar Web Design. Also explore amazing new grants currently available to small business on the recent podcast from Dr. Wayne Graham, Senior Lecturer at the School of Business in UniSC, the local university. Learn of the latest local business events with Chamber Presidents Michael Parker and Nick Steiner, or navigate the world of real estate contracts and legislation with solicitor Talia Bauer and real estate agent Ian Morrison. Sport, history, health and wellbeing, or community, you'll find something of interest for everyone on 1015.com.au, as well, of course, of all the classic hits.